Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hey, Deanna, great to see you.
Hi, nice to see you too.
So we are here talking with the Widestream folks about finances and things that you need to know. So the first thing is we're recording this mid-January. It's going to be aired on January 29th, 2025. Mm-hmm. And the first question I had to ask you as the expert is, I'm not yet finished all of my calculations of the expenses that I've had against various projects I've done and income I've made as an author in 2024. It's too late now, right? Like I'm done. I should just quit and stop because I'm never going to get it done. Is that what you would advise?
That is absolutely not true. And we're all still waiting, for example, for final, you know, year end numbers for the month of December from Kobo, for example.
Yeah.
Those guys tend to lag a little bit. And I think they're undergoing an accounting system change.
Yeah.
Which might explain
the additional delay
in reporting, right?
Poor accounting team there, when I worked at Kobo, I have to tell you, the poor accounting team at the end of every month. Yeah. They were there overnight doing all kinds of work, the systems that they had. Yeah. So please, God, for their sake, for their health, I hope they've got a much better system coming into place.
Well, I think it might help our listeners and people watching the vid to realize that accounting is almost never a real-time event. Accounting is always a capture all the data after the event is over.
Okay.
Scenario, much like firing a bullet at a speeding train, as I like to say. So if you live in the U.S., the speeding train, your tax stuff isn't due to be filed until April 15th.
Okay.
All so right. You've got
yeah,
some
and
time.
Any of the T4, or that's we call them here. What do you call the tax documents in the U.S.?
I don't know that I'm actually allowed to say that on camera. Because it's not politically correct. The watered down version is those infernal documents.
Oh, I see. but again, there's still a lot of tax documents related to the year 2024 that don't come out till February often.
Yeah.
Or later sometimes.
Well, if you make royalties of $10 or more, then you should receive a 1099 form.
1099, that's what they're called. See,
yes.
They're T4s here in Canada.
Companies are not required to send those out until January 31st.
Okay.
Just like companies are not required to send out W-2s in the United States until they have to be postmarked no later than January 31st.
Okay.
But if you're getting it mailed to you, you may not get it till, you know, mid-February. And in some cases, you know, Kobo being a Canadian company, they actually don't send you a year-end tax document.
That's right.
So that's when you go back into your Kobo dashboard, or if you can ferret it through it and get to it. If you're going draft to digital to Kobo, you can wade through those reports, isolate what you've been paid for the year. Keep in mind, it's what you've been paid, not necessarily what you've earned.
Yeah.
It's cash in hand, right?
Cash in hand is way more important than the pretend cash that's coming your way.
It always is. And so that is one advantage of us being indie authors, is that because we don't get paid instantaneously for sale. If I sold books in November or December through Amazon, I'm not going to see those funds until January or February.
Right.
So it's about the money you've actually physically received, not necessarily the amount of sales that you made. Okay, so everybody needs to keep that in mind too. If you had a $4,000 or $5,000 a month or more in October, in November, December, chances are those funds are still outstanding to you. They have actually not been funded to you, so they would not be included in your 2024 tax return.
So this, and I think this is an important distinction because I've recently done some of the calculations where I said, okay, I did a Kickstarter and I did get the money.
Yes.
And then I was looking at, okay, well, what did it cost? What were all of my costs? And I went, oh, phew, okay, I did make a little bit of money at the end of
Yeah.
the day, as opposed to being in the red, which I'd done
Right.
on a previous Kickstarter because I didn't
Yeah.
manage it properly. But looking at it and say, okay, my expenses were X, like my editorial, my cover design, any of the, if I'm going to amortize any of the software that I use, right? Like break it down by project. Like if I'm paying for BookFunnel, for example,
Right.
is that just a flat fee, or do I want to, like, does that make sense to amortize that and say this percentage or this dollar value? Like, how does that, what's a really good way for authors to try and figure that out?
For tax purposes, the
Well, I'm not
tax man
thinking
is
about
not
taxes. I'm just thinking
okay.
about just to understand, am I making money? Or do I just bucket all the income that I've actually received against all the expenses I've received?
From an accounting standpoint, you're going to arrive at the same conclusion either way. The question becomes, how well do you want to be able to drill down and get a true break-even point per title per
Oh,
format?
per title. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So the best way to do that is what is called overhead allocation. Basically, you take all those things, what I call the cost of doing business. They're technically called G&A or overhead costs, but the cost of doing business. So the book funnel, the scribe count, monthly fee. If you've got a recurring fee for any software that you use in your author business, you would take the annualized amount of each of those, add them all together, and then you can divide that across the number of titles. And I would say probably additionally, the number of formats that you have. So if you've got
Right.
two books and they've got five formats each, that's 10 total that you could amortize those costs out against per title.
Okay.
And
Yeah. Yeah.
what,
Yeah. Because
yeah.
and then one of the other ways I've done it is, usually my primary format. I always think of the paperback as the primary format, or the and may, most indie authors will think of the ebook as the primary format.
Right.
But I don't price my print books so low. I actually make money on my print books
Right.
because I come from a different world. I come from a world where print books actually sell way more than ebooks, which is the world most people live in who aren't indie authors. But that's a little bit of an aside. But looking at that and saying, okay, so I've got my primary format, and then have I made money back on that primary format? And then have I made, like, are the tertiary formats the gravy, if I put all the costs against the first format? So then I make enough money that I can now invest in an audiobook. Like, is that another way of doing it as well?
You can, if you just want to do it by title, just,
Yeah.
and like you said, if paperback is your strongest seller, then you say, I'm expecting, if I've got six paper books out there, then I'm expecting those six to help pitch in and cover the overhead costs. And then anything I make from that point forward
Right.
is not only profit on the title technically, but with those added costs figured in, now
Right.
I'm making money like across the board, right? So it
Right.
would cover the additional expense for the audiobook version of the cover ver you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a couple of different ways to do it, but I'm a big believer in winning. If you want to get a really true sense of how healthy your business is or isn't doing, then you've got to factor those overhead costs in, because you're going to pay those whether you sell one book or a million.
That's true. Yeah,
So.
that's the cost of doing business, you said, right? So I want to talk, I mean, not specific itemizations on a spreadsheet, which is where we love to play, but I want to talk
Right.
about something I've been considering, and this is kind of like my free session with an expert, but other people can listen and benefit from it too. See, isn't this awesome? The awesome wide for the win is, I was looking at, because I'm at the beginning of a fiscal year, and saying, should I have, I was looking at, as I was calculating all of my expenses from various credit cards and comes out of my bank account or PayPal or wherever it came from,
Right.
and all the work I have to do to find all those expenses and match them. Because again, when I travel to the States, I've got my US cost, and then my credit card company has the exchange rate, and I have to go to this card and see what did I actually pay in my Canadian dollars, what did I
Right.
actually earn in my Canadian dollars.
Right.
And I was looking at simplifying it by saying, should I just pick a single credit card and only ever use that just for my business expenses, even if it's not a business account? And then similarly, the income I mean, guy's got to live on his income, but having that extra income after I've paid for things like the credit card bill and the cost of editing and stuff, putting that into a single account so I actually have a better balance, management, and understand like all of my income compared to all my expenses. I mean, the bank account can't be in the hole. Well, actually, you can. Some of my accounts can go like $1,000 in the hole because there's that extra buffer that they give you.
Right.
But does something like that make sense for authors to consider, like considering a bank account that they put that extra money in and they don't use for anything other than their business expenses? Do you recommend
Absolutely.
that sort of?
Absolutely. Yeah, whenever possible, even if you're operating as a sole proprietor, so you've you're doing it as you, or you're doing it at, like my publishing is set up as a DBA. So I'm on file with the state of Texas with an assumed name certificate, DF Hart, Deanna Faith Hart, doing business as Two of Hart, DF Hart and Two of Hearts Publishing. So there is no separation, right? But that can get very tricky. From a tracking everything standpoint, if you're commingling your personal and your business funds. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a business account, but it needs to at least be a separate account. And ideally, you don't want to commingle personal and business expenditures on a credit card either. If you can swing getting a business-only card, that's great. If not, just take one of your existing ones and get all that, make sure that no recurring transactions that are personal are attached to that card anymore. It's a single, and at the end of the year, you've got way fewer places you have to look. You can pull down one Chase account, one Wells Fargo account, one Capital One account, whoever it's with. You can pull one set of records for the banking account, and then you can pull one set of records for any credit card that you've got involved. And the same thing goes for PayPal too. I can't think of very many examples I've seen where people commingle their personal and business so much in PayPal, but I'm sure it does happen. But if you don't take anything else away
Guilty.
from this talk, separate your personal and your business finances for a couple of reasons. One, it makes your life a lot easier come tax season. To get all your stuff gathered up, if you're not going to do your own tax, well, even if you are going to do your own tax return, it's going to make your life a hell of a lot easier, right? And time is money. And the second thing is, if you opt to go forward at some point and form an S corp or a C corp or a partnership, now you can't just have that as part and parcel of your tax return. It's got its own separate tax return, which means now you've got more of a requirement to have. To make sure that your business and your personal finances are not commingled.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, oh man, that is amazing. Ooh, okay. So, as we're getting close to the end here, I want to double check some things. So you've helped me right now. Like I was like, okay, these are the things I need to do. And that would be starting off with just going in for the recurring payments and saying, let's just move them all to a single card. I'm only going to use that card for business stuff, which I think makes a lot of sense. And what I am going to do, because I have an Air Miles card where I get points where I can travel, because I do a lot of travel, where maybe I can potentially get some travel benefits, perks out of this, where it doesn't cost me so much because I can use my points. And it's all business expenses. But where are you available for authors who are looking for that support and that help? Is there, and where can they find you online?
I did in April 2022, I did start doing bookkeeping work for direct clients who don't feel like trying to track all this stuff themselves. The name of the business is Two of Hearts Business Services. And the web address is a little weird. We can probably put it maybe down in the chat or in the
Have a
across the
little
bottom of the
pop-up.
screen. Yeah. It's the number two, the word of, and then hearts, HARTSACCTG.com.
That sounds like it's short for accounting or something.
It does sound like it's because it is. Now,
Suspiciously like an abbreviation.
right. Now I will tell I will warn the audience, I'm not a CPA and I have no desire to be one. A lot of people have asked me about helping them and like doing their tax return for them. I do not offer that service. Like I said, I'm not a CPA. I'm not an enrolled agent. I toyed with the idea briefly about getting certifications to be a paid tax preparer, but I'll be honest, I don't even like doing my own taxes, so I don't. You know, I don't know that I'd want to commit to being responsible for making somebody else's is accurate. So I don't, you know, we want to avoid getting in trouble with the man. I don't know how temperamental the man is in Canada, but the man down here can be very, very temperamental.
Oh, the man's grumpy. It's like you stole his poutine. Like, this is really, really bad here. Or you prevented him from watching the hockey game. Like, that is it.
So the other thing I'll say to the audience is that when in doubt, consult a CPA in your area. Most of them will do a free initial consultation with you if you've got any questions specific to your situation. Just to be on the safe side, better safe than sorry.
Of course.
And don't freak. You've got until April 15th to get this figured out and filed in the US. So,
Cool. Okay,
yeah.
so for those, that's for people who may want to work with you directly to hire you to help with some of their accounting as well. And again, you have the meeting and see if this is a good match and what you can do for them. But then there's people who are kind of DIY, and you've got some courses that are either ready by the time this rolls or going to be ready very soon on the Circle Groups.
Yes. I'm planning on posting two, possibly three, courses up in the Circle Wide for the Win Circle group, and I expect those will probably be able to, you know, be seen in the course list. I'm hoping no later than mid-February. One of the ones that I am thinking about putting together would be like a sales tax 101. More and more authors are discovering the benefits of direct sales, but with that comes a little bit of heartache if you're not sure. Oh, if you know, if I, how many do I have to sell? Like, I'm based in Texas, but I had, you know, $100,000 worth of direct sales in Ohio. What does that do to my, you know, because there are regional tax implications involved with that. So I am in the process of putting all the homework together and building a how-to guide so you guys don't have to chase it down. But that's because I want it to be accurate. That probably will take me till mid-February together. Because I'd rather be slow and right than speedy and wrong.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That is a good advice for all of us. Slow and right rather than speedy and wrong. There we go. Stuff. And that's the same advice you would offer for folks who might be panicking because, as this video rolls out at the end of January, there's probably going to be people who are like, but I don't yet have it all. It's okay. It's okay. Slow
You've
and
got time.
right. Yeah.
You've got time.
There you go. Triple check
And
those numbers, right?
yeah. And, you know, if the worst happens, if you're in the US and the worst happens and you're not able, you don't have your stuff together and you can't get it filed by April 15th, then you file an extension, which gives you till October 15th. So, you know,
That is quite a
ideally,
stretch, October 15th.
yeah. I mean, ideally, you want to get it done by April 15th because the lower we can all stay off governmental radar, you know, the better. But if push comes to shove and you absolutely have to extend it out, they do allow for that as well. So the moral of the overarching moral of the story is don't panic. You do not have to have this done by the end of January. Don't panic.
Awesome. Deanna, thanks for keeping a cool head and helping us stay I was going to say I was trying to use an accounting term, which help us stay
Compliant.
compliant. There we go. I like that. I like that. In balance.
Balance. Balance.
Awesome. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Monitoring sales and advertising on multiple platforms takes away valuable writing time. ScribeCount gives you that time back by automatically collecting that data and displaying it in an easy-to-understand dashboard. What once took hours now takes minutes. ScribeCount, numbers from your words. Built by indie authors for indie authors. Subscribe today, get back to writing, and leave the rest to us.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incomptet.com.